go abroad. Practice halacha, how does it work? On Wednesday at 9:32.
So, good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
If you recall, the last 2 weeks we were dealing with Kriyat Shema in the morning, Kriyat Shema at night, what to do in cases where they don't daven on time. I want to shift gears today and talk about something that happens in shuls that I have to say is a very Israeli question, not because it's Israel, but rather because in Israel we were zoche to mekayim a mitzvah every single day. At least in the Torah it seems to be a mitzvah that we do once a day every day, and that is Birkas Kohanim, known in English as Duchening. In Chutz La'aretz, they follow the custom of the Ramah that says that you only do it on Yontif, and even then, only at Musaf. So you can basically count on almost two hands how many times a year do you actually duchen. If you make a Cheshbon, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeret, maybe Simchas Torah because people are drunk, you go into Pesach, you end off with Shavuos, and not too many times over there. But in Israel, Baruch Hashem, every day. Yes, Mr. Weiser.
May I ask your question?
Yes.
Yeah. You see, if let's say the Yeshiva Bocharam from here go to Chutz La'aretz, do they have to do Tichen?
In Chutz La'aretz, if they're in an Ashkenazic shul, they shouldn't, because that's the minhag there, and they should respect the local minhag.
Let's say you go separate.
If you go separate, and you're not in a local community... If you're separate and you're not in a local community and you have your own separate minyan and everyone there is Israeli and you're not within a shul, you're within an extraterritorial area such as a hotel, in my humble opinion, yes. And the reason I say that is what we're going to talk about today, and that is that the actual minhag of the Ramah, not to duchen except for on Yontif and except at Musaf, is highly questionable. Because you're taking a mitzvah d'oraisa, an obligation biblically mandated by the Torah, taking it away for excuses that I won't get into today as to why not. But, therefore, I'm personally of the view, anytime you can, you should. In the case that you're presenting, I think the answer is yes.
Yeah. So I told him, for me to come there to Simcha, because after all, you know, I've been doing it. So, why do they do it in Chutz La'aretz? Because Simcha. But since there is a Simcha for me, so they do. So he liked it.
Right. That's one of those very, very nice. That's very nice. That is very nice. That is very nice.
Duchen is part of Tefillah, and Tefillah is the Rabban and not the writer. How can the Duchen be the writer?
Duchening is done with, as a mitzvah, the oraisa, during tefillah, which is the Rabbanan, at least the nusach we have. However, according to the Rambam, davening is the oraisa. What you say is the Rabbanan, but when you're davening, it's the oraisa. But your question, as we discussed last week, is not exactly so hard to understand. Kriyat Shema is the oraisa, and the Chacham said you have to do it with two brachas before and two brachas after. And if you have a suffix, if you say Kriyat Shema, the halacha is
to say it
together with its brachot before and after. So you'll say, wait, brachot's the Rabbanon, Kriyat Shema's the Oraisa. The bottom line is that the Chachamim said that you should do the mitzvah d'Oraisa of Kriyat Shema within the brachot before and after. You should sandwich it that way. The same thing with Duchening.
Duchening is somehow d'Oraisa.
Not somehow the Oraisa, Bruce. I'm very surprised by your question. I'm almost falling off my chair. As a Kohen, I am absolutely flabbergasted. You say Duchening is the Oraisa? Really? I never knew. No, actually, you should know that there is a Rav Yaakov Emden that says that without the Beis Hamikdash and Korbanos, Duchening is the Rabbanan. But we do not paskin like Rav Yaakov Emden, and quite frankly, in general, we say it's the Oraisa, and therefore, and the way to do it is like the Korbanos, quote-unquote, therefore you go up on Ritzeh, when we talk about V'hashevet ha'avodah le'dvir b'techa, return the sacrificial work to the temple, and therefore, you do duchening during davening. Now here's the question.
So if the duchening is the Oraisa, and it's part of the temple service, then if the temple's not there, you're saying it then becomes the Rabbanan.
Again, when you have a mitzvah that's done in the temple, and there's no temple, it doesn't make every mitzvah done in the temple the Rabbanan. They also davened in the temple. Now there's no temple. You're saying, okay, all davening is the Rabbanan. I'm sure in the temple they made a bracha before they ate. Now there's no temple, so we don't make brachas anymore. No temple, no brachas. Not everything done in the temple was connected to the temple. For example, hakravos hakorbanos, according to the Rambam, is not dependent upon a temple. Makrivim korbanot, af pal pisha en shama, by it. You can makriv korbanos today, according to the Rambam, if you know where the mizbeach is, if you know how to make a mizbeach, even if there's no temple. So temple per se doesn't dictate that everything done there was temple oriented. There are certain things that you have to do within the temple. This is like the akravas haketores, ketoret hasamim, is done within the temple. There are certain things that are not. So the question I want to deal with today within the duchenin question is a question that comes up a lot. It comes up in almost every scenario that we have, and that is the following. The gabbai goes up to someone nice and sure with a good voice, and he says, please, be chazen. And everyone likes him. He has a good voice. He doesn't, not too far, not too slow, just right. And he davens beautifully. It's only one little problem. He's a Kohen. And he gets up there for Musaf, or he gets up there on a Tuesday in Israel.
I just asked that today.
Hey, does he duchen or not?
It seems to be a minhag. Based on each person's...
So here is what's interesting. It comes down to an interesting issue. The Gemara in Maseches Brachos, the Mishnah says in Daf Lamed Daled Amud Bet, the following... A certain answer, Amen, on the bracha of the Kohanim. He shouldn't answer Amen. I'll just say in parentheses, the Shulchan Aruch says you do answer Amen after V'yishmarecha, V'chuneka, Shalom, if you're a Chazen, because you're supposed to not only have a mitzvah, it's not only a mitzvah too. Blessed is also a mitzvah to get blessed. And in order to receive the blessing, you have to answer, Amen. That's only if you can go back to davening without getting mixed up. You can say Sim Shalom. And that's what the Gemara continues to say. He's the only Kohen. There's no other Kohen in the shul. Lo yisad kapav. He can't go up and duchen. So if he's the only Kohen in shul, and he's the chazen, he shouldn't duchen. But if he can also be chazen, and also duchen, and also go back and say sim shalom, rashai, he is allowed to. On that last line of the Gemara, if he can go back to davening, he's allowed to duchen. On the other hand, if he's the only kohen, he shouldn't duchen. So machloket about how to understand it. Comes along the Hagaot Maimoniot. The Hagaot Maimoniot is a very interesting perush on the Rambam. I love what he did. What he basically did was he took the Rambam and he said, very nice Rambam, a very nice, good man. Thank you very much. But I'm going to bring in all the Ashkenazi poskim because that's what we basically poskim like. And that's what he does. The Hagaot Maimoniot on the Rambam says like this. And he says in the name of the Maharambi Wittenberg, who's an Ashkenazi posek muvhak, the Rebbe of the Rosh, the Rebbe of the Mordechai, says as follows, that the heter to duchen when you're chazen is only if you're the only kohen. Because without you, what's going to happen? No duchening. But if there's other kohanim, keep your mouth shut, and it's better that you don't say it. In other words, how does he understand the Gemara? Im en sham kohen elahu lo yisad kapav. If he's the only kohen, he shouldn't duchen, unless he knows that he's going to go back to Sim Shalom without getting mixed up, without getting fablunchent in Yiddish. However, if there's other Kohanim, keep your mouth shut. Why get into a problem of getting mixed up? And just to end, this is the way the Torah, and the Shulchan Aruch, and the Kaf HaChaim, and the Yalkut Yosef, Rav Avadja Yosef, all the way back to the Shulchan Aruch and the Torah, they all paskin this way. That basically, as follows, if you're in a shul, and there's other Kohanim, and you're a Kohen as well, and you're Chazen, keep your mouth shut. However, if you're the only Kohen, you can duchen on one condition. What's the condition? If you can go back to Sim Shalom without getting mixed up. One second, we'll get to what we do. What the Mitch, did the shir finish? Is the time moving out over here? We don't do it this way. Mitch, do you think I'm going to sit here and not talk about what we do here? I'm just saying, Hagaot Maimoniot, Tur, Shulchan Aruch, they all the way say, the only heter for a chazen to duchen is, first of all, he has to be a kohen, second of all, he has to be the only kohen. Got it? Great. Now we'll go on to what we do here. Bruce already has a question. And it better not be that question.
In the case that you mentioned...
Because you will say it at very personal danger, and you have no insurance. Yes.
And he's the only Cohen. Is he davening because he's the only one who could daven, as opposed to he davened up to Yishtabach and then switched places, allowing everything to work properly?
I don't understand your question. They asked him to daven. He went up to daven.
But he's the only one who can daven. And so they could have asked anyone to daven. He's now going to give up.
So he's saying a good gabbai should never ask a Cohen to daven.
Yes.
Okay.
In that case, he's going to remove his ability if he can't do both.
So you should know. You should know. There's a wonderful man in this neighborhood, his name is Rabbi Yehuda Sussman, and he said that when he was an avelus for his father, and you know that everyone thinks there's a chiyuv to daven, that's not so pashut, but people think there is, but pia zohar, there might be, and he was an avelus for his father, and he's a kohen, and he asked Mori Rabbi Arav Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, what to do, and Rabbi Lichtenstein said, duchen and don't daven. And he said, but davening is such an important thing. For chiyuv, he says, a mitzvah d'oraisa of duchening is more important. Mm-hmm. And I can explain his point of view, but in one word I'll say that, in my humble opinion, again, I didn't hear this from Rav Lichtenstein, but he felt that, as I said many times, that it's not the chazarat hashah, it's the chazan's repetition. It's not the chazan davening on his own, doing what he ever, wherever he wants, and we're just standing there saying amen if we feel like it. It's a public amida. We're all davening together, represented by a chazan. So if that's the case, how can the kohen, who is the chazan, in the middle of davening before Kodesh Baruch Hu, move his feet, go this way, go that way, it doesn't make sense. But to make a long story short, there is a point of view like that. It's not brought in the classical poskim. So, the first point of view is, the only way a chazan that's a kohen can duchen, is if he's the only kohen, and he doesn't get mixed up. The Prichadash, the Magen Avraham, disagree. They basically say straight, what does the Gemara say? If Encham Kohen Elohu lo yisad kapav, if he's the only Kohen, he shouldn't duchen. Ve'im yiftachlo shenoset kapav v'chozer letfilato rashai, and if he's able to do both, he can. Simple. If the Kohen can do both, he should. Why not? And if he can't, he can't. Doesn't make a difference if he's the only Kohen, not the only Kohen. The bottom line is, he should duchen. We can explain it very simply. With due respect to Chazaret Hashat, which is the Rabbanan, after all, we know very well that the rabbis were the ones that enacted it, the Gemara at the end of Rosh Hashanah. Duchening is the Oraisa. Excuse me for the saying, but we've said it many times. Duchening, the Oraisa, would trump of the Rabbanan. So therefore the Gemara is clear. Read the Gemara straight. Whether he's the only Kohen, not the only Kohen, the bottom line is, if he can do both, he can. So what do we basically do in Israel?
Give him a headset to move his feet.
So this is interesting. This is very interesting. First of all, we're moving the feet per se. I won't get into today, but there is a precedent for it. I'll open the parentheses. If the chazan in the middle of the davening got mixed up or his voice went, you can get another chazan up there. So removing the feet per se, again, is something that's mutter because it's a tzorech hatfilo, perhaps. Again, it's a tzorech hatfilo. When you do korim, on the other hand, on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, when you bow down, what's the big tzorech? So don't do korim. It's not like a mitzvah d'oraisa to do korim on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It's a minhag, it's a good minhag. It's representing what used to be done in the Beis HaMikdash, but that is something temple-oriented. When you came to the temple, every time you went there, you had to bow before you left. We read it by the Bikurim, V'hishta chavita lefnei Hashem alokecha, but it's every time you went to the temple, you bow. So the bottom line is that we go ahead and do a replica. But that in and of itself doesn't matter you to move your feet. Here there's a mamish, a mitzvah d'oraisa, there's a tzorech. Close the parentheses, we have two points of view. Dagot Maimoniot and the Shulchan Aruch say, only if you're the only Kohen, and only if you make sure you're not too mixed up. The Magen Avraham says, I don't care if you're the only Kohen, you're not the only Kohen, the bottom line is, if you can do it without getting mixed up, you should. The Minhag in Eretz Yisrael is very interesting. We paskin like the Shulchan Aruch Yiduchen every day. On the other hand, on this issue, the general Minhag in Ashkenazic shuls, again, Sephardic shuls, I'm not Bucky, whoever can tell me, please do, and I'm looking forward to your comments. In Ashkenazic shuls is that if you're an avelus, let's say, and you're davening every day, you do duchen. So what the chazan does is very simple. He davens his silent shmoneh esrei, goes out and washes his hands, takes his shoes off, davens the chazarat hashatz, gets to the kohanim, turns around, etc. The Shara Tzion of the Mishnah Berurah says, people that do like this, don't make a big deal about it, and that seems to be the minhag. Very nice.
Asked that question because he wasn't comfortable doing it.
He asked Rav Lichtenstein what to do. Very simple. Now the question is very simple here, in my opinion. What is this based on? What is this whole machlokas based on? And this is what I think it's based on. It's based on two Gemaras that seem to go maybe against each other, but maybe complement each other. If there's one Kohen in the room, and you're not going to duchen, there won't be duchening. If there are a bunch of Kohanim, there will be duchening. Your added bracha, very nice, but maybe doesn't add. On the other hand, there is a point of view that says if there's only one Kohen in the room, it's not a mitzvah d'oraisa. And I'll explain. The Gemara in Sota, the Daf Lamed Ched Amud Aleph, says that if there's two or more Kohanim, you have to actually invite the Kohanim to duchen. You have to say Kohanim. And if there's only one Kohen, you don't. Okay. Why? The Gemara says, Emor lahem, lishnayim. It says in the Pasuk, Kol tevachut b'nei Yisrael, Emor lahem, say to them. When do you say to them, Kohanim? When there's two. There isn't two. How are you going to say Kohanim? That's plural. We're going to say Kohen. So therefore the Gemara says, you don't. Okay. Can't infer much from that Gemara. Seems to be the rules and regulations of when to say Kohanim. That's what we call the laws of the Gabbai. But there's another Gemara in Masechet Ben Achol, Daf Lamed Dal Amud Aleph, that says, Amar Rav Sheshet, says Rav Sheshet, the kol kohen sheino le duchan over begimel asay. Any kohen that's in shul and doesn't go up to duchan actually violates three mitzvot asay in the Torah. What does that mean, he violates positive commandments? We're used to violating negative commandments. How do you violate a positive commandment?
You don't do it.
There's a chance to do something, and you don't do it. Now, Brit is a good example.
Pesach.
You don't eat matzah on the first night, not the rest of the nights. You eat outside the sukkah. All these things, there's no lo ta'aseh, like do not eat tzedakah. Because you have to eat in the sukkah and you don't, you're violating a mitzvah saseh. You're supposed to put on tefillin, you didn't. It's called a bitul mitzvah saseh. So by the Kohanim, there's three psukim. So therefore, kol tevachut b'nei Yisrael, mo lahem, yivach Hashem yishmech, etc. You not only mevatelt one, not two, but three mitzvahs asay if you don't duchen. So you have one Gemara that says that if you don't duchen, you're mevatel mitzvot asay. You have another Gemara that says if there's two Kohanim, say Kohan. If there's one, don't say nothing. Comes along the Tosfos on that Gemara and says, based on this, if there's only one Kohen, you don't say Kohanim. It doesn't fall under the rules of Emor Lahem. He infers from that, well, if there's no Emor Lahem, it's only the Rabbanan. You understand the logic? Mm-hmm. It says in the Pasuk, Kol Tevarchu, plural, with B'nai Yisrael and Mor Lahem, say to them, there has to be two. There's only one, it's the Rabbanan. Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Shafilu Kol Nechad Oleh, Lechol HaPachot Nidu Rabbanan. It says Rabbeinu Tam, it's the Rabbanan. Very interesting. Okay, very interesting point of view. How do we explain that?
There's only one Kohen.
I'm a Kohen too. Well, what is that? How do you explain that?
There must be somebody who disagrees.
Absolutely, there's somebody who disagrees. But how do we explain this point of view? The Gemara says if there's two Kohanim, you say Kohanim. So if there's only one, maybe the whole Pasuk doesn't apply. Says the Radbaz, not the Ridbaz, who's the 20th century, the Radbaz, who was a rabbi in Cairo, he says like this. He says that ultimately, if there's other Kohanim in the room, the guy should not stop davening, he should continue davening. Why? He says, interestingly, when you say Kohanim and you're in the middle of davening, doesn't refer to you. The Kohanim refers to the other people that are doing nothing. The other people that are doing nothing. He also adds in something else, and that is that that the Kohen is supposed to go up in Ritzeh, and this Chazan can go up in Ritzeh. He happens to be up there already, but he can't move his feet, and therefore he's not able to duchen. To make a long story short, the Rabbeinu Tam says, and it's very famous, if there's one Kohen, it's only the Rabbanan. Okay, if there's one Kohen, only the Rabbanan, you would say, all right, for the Rabbanan, maybe tell the Chazan not to move his feet. Why? You're not supposed to move your feet during Chazarat Hashatz, because there's a big Tzorech D'oraisa. If it's only the Rabbanan, don't move your feet. Who disagrees? Many people disagree. The Meiri disagrees. He says, yes, you don't say Kohanim, but there's still a mitzvah Zasei Doraisa. The Tor, says the Rabbeinu Peretz, known as the Smak, comes along and says that, with due respect, you don't say Kohanim, but the bottom line is, there is a mitzvah on the table. Now, there's three ways of understanding it. I'll just go through it very quickly. The Beit Yosef says you don't say Kohanim to one Kohen, but if you did say Kohen, there's a mitzvah zaseh to go up. The Bach says there's no mitzvah to say Kohanim, but there is a mitzvah to go up, and if you didn't call him, then he doesn't over in the mitzvah zase do raisa. The Prisha says he does. It doesn't make a difference if you say it, don't say it. The bottom line is that a shoot called Chevan HaChalato goes through all the poskim and basically comes to the realization there is a mitzvah zase do raisa even for one Kohen to duchin on this particular issue. Yes?
So the Kohen who often davens in the morning and duchins while davening has told me when he turns around, he's not in fact moving his feet out of the area, but moving, defined as moving, where you shift positions. He's simply turning around, and
I don't know how he does that, but okay, could be.
He avoids moving his feet.
Could be he's only moving his feet. You have to ask Kohanim how they pull it off. The bottom line is, it's a machlokes between Rabbeinu Peretz and Rabbeinu Tam. There's a mitzvah zasei d'oraisa. So, if there's no mitzvah zasei d'oraisa, you'd probably say paskum like the Shulchan Aruch, tell the Kohen to keep his mouth shut. But if there is a mitzvah zasei d'oraisa, and we see many that say yes, then we're probably going to say to the Kohen, you should duchen. You should duchen. Now, the truth of the matter is that there's one more point of view. The Shilat Yabet says the followings. And that is as follows. If there's no other Kohen there, you don't say Kohanim, and therefore there's no Bitul Mitzvah Zaseh D'oraisa, like the Beis Yosef. But when you say Kohanim, there is a Bitul Mitzvah Zaseh D'oraisa, because you already called the Kohanim, and therefore they have to go up. In other words, says the Shilat Yabet, something very interesting. If you would have asked me, I would say that, hey, if there's no other Kohanim there, you should go up, because there's nothing else. We need someone to duchen. But if there's a bunch of others, keep your mouth shut. Who said that earlier?
I forgot.
Someone said it. Who said it earlier?
The first name, the Ramah. Was it the Ramah?
Hmm?
You said the Ramah? Yeah.
The Radbaz said that, right? He says the opposite. He says, listen, if there's other Kohanim there, and they call out Kohanim, that's the real McCoy mitzvah zaseh. He has to duchen, right? And now you're going to say to me, wait a minute, but he's moving his feet and this and that. The respect. Mitzvah zaseh, trumps of the Rabbanan. If you don't call out, you don't have to. So to make a long story short, there's, in my humble opinion, to make this story very, very clear, there is two points of view. One point of view is if you're a Kohen, and the only Kohen, and you know you're not going to get mixed up, you should duchen. But if there's other Kohanim, keep your mouth shut. There's duchening being done. The other point of view is, no. Anytime you can go back to davening, today with a sitter that's not even an issue, then you should duchen. In my humble opinion, it's based on the following. Why does the Shulchan Aruch say, if you're the only Kohen, you should duchen, if you can go back? Because he felt that, like the Torah, in the name of Rabbeinu Peretz, and the Beis Yosef Paskins this way, that when, he was very clear, when you say Kohen or Kohanim, even if there's one Kohen, it's a mitzvah zaseh d'oraisa. Therefore, he felt you have to. But if you don't, you keep your mouth shut. Maybe there is no bitul mitzvah zaseh d'oraisa. And therefore, in that case, where you know the chazan is going to get mixed up, keep your mouth shut and just continue davening. The other point of view is there is a mitzvah zaseh d'oraisa, and therefore, that should trump all these chashashot of moving your feet, of getting mixed up, or whatever it is. It comes down to the machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch on the one hand and the Pri Chodesh, the Magen Avraham, on the other. I don't know what Sfardim do. Most Ashkenazic shuls pasken like the Pri Chodesh and the Magen Avraham on this issue. What surprises me on this issue is as follows. We sort of see in this issue that doesn't come down to Sfardi Ashkenazi. Because if it came down to Sfardi Ashkenazi, then it would have been as follows. The Ashkenazim have this allergy to duchening, right? The Ramah says only to duchen on Musaf and Yantiv. He doesn't say Chutzlar. He says Musaf and Yantiv. Right? In addition, he says, who shouldn't duchen? Perhaps someone that's single, because he's not besimcha yet. He didn't get married. In addition, he said, there's a Mashkenazik Minag, not the Ramah, that says that if it comes out on Shabbos, he shouldn't duchen, because Chas V'Shalom, you'll say the Ribono Shalolam in the middle there. You know, when the Kohanim say, ay, 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 you're supposed to say the Ribono Shalolam. You're not allowed to say Bakashas on Shabbos, so don't duchen. So we have this allergy to duchening in the Ashkenazic world. And yet, on this issue, the Shulchan Aruch is the one that says, if you're the only Kohen, duchen, but if not, keep your mouth shut. And the Ramah, not the Ramah, but the Ashkenazic posim, Magen Avraham, Pekadash, all say, Taduchen. If you ask me, I humbly think that there's different shitos, but since there is a chashash, at least according to many, that even if there's one kohen, there's a mitzvah ase de oraisa to duchen, that should trump all the chashashot around. The chashash of moving your feet, the chashash of getting mixed up, and whatnot. So to make a long story short, this happens a lot. If the chazan who's a kohen does not duchen, no, he's Shulchan Aruch man, don't make fun of him, don't start screaming and yelling and shouting. On the other hand, if he does, you should know it's based on very good sources. And in my humble opinion, indeed, as we could see from the Gemara, even though the Gemara says you don't call out to the Kohanim or Kohen if there's one, it seems like there's still a mitzvah zaseh d'oraisa to bless the people.